Why did God tell Hosea to marry a harlot? If you look at the first chapter of Hosea, Hosea was a prophet. We find there that in verse 2, Hosea makes this statement. He's writing, he says, when the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go take to yourself a wife of harlotry and have children of harlotry, for the land commits flagrant harlotry, forsaking the Lord. He told Hosea to go marry a woman that we would commonly call in today's vernacular a prostitute. Why? Well, you have to understand, first of all, some of the things that God did with His prophets of old. God used His prophets from time to time to teach what we would call today object lessons. And those object lessons had a greater meaning behind them. They were used to teach certain things. For example, if you look at the book of Ezekiel, specifically in chapter 4, Ezekiel is in captivity, Babylonian captivity. It's about 597 BC. And God comes to him, calls him to be a prophet, and then he has him do something. In chapter 4, Ezekiel, when you read that chapter, you find there are four different things that Ezekiel is called upon to do. He is to act out these object lessons. The first of those that you find in the first part of the chapter is the sign of what we're going to call the brick. He is to take a brick, he is to write on it, specifying that this is Jerusalem, these are God's people, and then he is to build a wall, and this is done out in the open for people to see. And he builds a wall around this brick, and he does all these things with this brick, and then he lays siege to this brick. And can't you just imagine walking along, seeing a grown man down there in the dirt doing all of this, and you think, what in the world is he doing? Well, it was an object lesson to teach the people in captivity that Jerusalem was going to fall, that eventually Nebuchadnezzar would lay siege to the city of Babylon, and that city would fall, and these people who were still in Jerusalem would be brought into captivity. And we know that happened in 586 B.C. In verse 4, you find another thing he does. He has to lay on one side for a certain number of days, and then he has to lay on another side for a certain number of days out in the open. And as people are walking by, and they see him laying on his side, on one side, and then laying on his side on the other, they're going to ask, whoa, what are you doing? Well, it was another object lesson that was designed to tell the people who were there in captivity with him, this is what God is doing to North Israel, and this is what God is doing to Judah. Both of these places are going into captivity for a certain number of days. Why? Because of their sins, because of what they've done. Then there's the sign of the unclean food, where God tells him, take and buy so much barley and so much of these different things and make bread in a bowl. And what he is doing is another object lesson that is designed to teach the people that the people of Jerusalem are going to have, they're going to, because of the siege, they're going to be limited in their food supply. The last one that you find goes into chapter 5, and what God tells Ezekiel to do, which no Jew typically did, was to shave his beard. That was against the law of Moses, and to shave his head. And then he was to take the hair and divide it in certain ways and burn part of it and do certain things with others. And all of this is to talk, all of these lessons, all of these object lessons that people would see him doing. You see a man walking around that just the other day had a full head of hair and a long beard, and suddenly it's shaved. You're going to want to know, what's the meaning of all this? Well, there's something behind it. Now, I shared all that with you so that you might understand what God is doing with Hosea. God does tell Hosea, marry a harlot. It's an object lesson. God is using Hosea's marriage to speak to the people about Israel's unfaithfulness. He's telling them, I am married to you. You are my people, but you've been unfaithful to me. And unfaithfulness to God was seen and treated by God as adultery. You have been unfaithful to me. And not only that, God takes it a step further. He says, okay, Hosea, you're going to have children by this woman. You're going to have three children. And if you'll read chapter 1, you find he has three. The first one he is told to name Jezreel. And what he's saying is, he names his son Jezreel, and it is something that God is teaching, that I'm going to bring judgment upon Jehu, the house of Jehu, because of the blood that he shed at Jezreel. Object lesson. The next child that is born He names Lo Ruhamah. It is a Hebrew term that means not loved. Now imagine naming your child not loved. The whole purpose of that was to tell the people, God doesn't love you anymore because you've left him, because you have committed harlotry with these other nations and with their gods, and you're not faithful to me anymore. And that brings us to the third child, Lo-Ami. God has Hosea name that child Lo-Ami, which means not, translated means not my people. And God is saying to them, you're not my people anymore. Why are we not your people? Because you're unfaithful to me. You're committing harlotry with these other gods and with these other nations. You're not my people. And so, after all of that, and if you read through the book, what you find is that Hosea's wife goes back into her former lifestyle and continues her harlotry. To the point that finally, when you come to chapter 3, God tells Hosea to literally go to the auction block and buy her back. She has reached a point in her life at which nobody wants her anymore, and they're just selling her. And what Hosea does is he goes and he pays 15 pieces of silver, 15 shekels of silver, and some other things, some grains and some produce, which altogether, when you add up what that would have cost, would have been about 30 pieces of silver. It was the price of a slave. And Hosea buys his wife back and tells her, you are my wife again. It is an object lesson in which God is saying, I'm going to redeem Israel. Even though you've left me, even though you've been unfaithful to me, even though you've gone after these other gods, when I have been there for you and I have provided for you and you have followed these other nations, when all is said and done and when you finally have bottomed out, we might say, I'm still going to take you back because I love you. I love you. Now that's why God tells Hosea to marry a harlot. He wants to communicate to his people what they're doing. He wants them to understand just how bad it is, because no man in his common mind, right mind, would say, I'm just going to go out and marry a harlot. She's not going to be faithful to you. But God tells him to do that because he wants to teach a lesson. And he wants Israel to understand just how bad their behavior and their unfaithfulness to him had become, and where he had reached in his own attitude toward them. I'm going to call you not my people. You are no longer my loved ones because you have left me. And I'm going to bring about punishment for the blood that Jehu shed at Jezreel. All of that is done through an object lesson, through Hosea marrying a harlot.